The Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. Hey, Damian, good morning.
Good morning to you, Gabby. Hopefully you got a good weekend in store.
I actually don't have any plans this weekend for the first time in months.
So that could be a good weekend before it's over with. Yeah, it could turn out to be good. So, well, let's begin our show with a prayer, as we always do, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, for the glory of your name and for the salvation of souls, you conferred upon St. Lawrence the spirits of counsel and fortitude. Grant us in the same spirit to know what we are to do, and through his prayers to do what we have to come to know. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Lawrence, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have a wonderful show for you today, starting off with some events in our listening area we will give you details about. That is coming up in 9 minutes. And you can find all of these events at ccmedia.live. Kathleen Higgins joins us in 18 minutes. She's the Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And we've been covering back-to-school topics in each diocese. And today, we're talking about the kids over in the Baton Rouge area who will be starting here shortly. So we're gearing up for that first day and that wonderful year. So looking forward to Kathleen, who's actually currently at an ECHO retreat with the ECHO community. So looking forward to hearing from her. In 35 minutes, Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, joins us. And in 48 minutes, Terry Dixon joins us, Director of Communications for the Diocese of Biloxi and editor of the Gulf Pine Catholic newspaper. He'll be giving us an update, be seen in this week's issue of the Gulf Pine. So we're very excited to have our local guests on today and looking forward to a wonderful show. Damian, looking forward to your weather report. How does the weekend look for you today or for all of us?
Well, first of all, it's going to be hot and sunny just like it has been. So hopefully we can continue to deal with that. High today is expected to be right at about 101, if you can believe that. The low is only going to be 80. Woohoo! No chance of rain. Winds out of the west at 5 to 10 miles an hour for the weekend. 40% chance of rain, so we have a chance that things are going to cool down a little bit for tomorrow. Come Sunday, we actually have a 50% chance of rain. High tomorrow should be 98, the high on Sunday, 91. I'm not sure when's the last time I got excited about a 91-degree temperature, but I'm looking forward to it. Temperatures in and around the area, everybody in the 80s right now. In Gulfport, it's 82. Home of Thibodeau, 80. Over in Covington, 81. Baton Rouge, it's also 81. And New Orleans, it's 85. Heating up quickly in the Crescent City, so bear with it, deal with it. It will eventually cool things down come October, so we got a lot to look forward to until then.
Yeah. Well, it is July, so we can't be surprised that it is this hot, but we have to remember to stay hydrated, wear your sunscreen, and take frequent breaks if you are outside, maybe working in the yard or mowing your lawn, and of course, pray for some rain as well. So, and don't forget to maybe take an occasional dip in the pool. That also feels really good.
Yeah.
And some relief.
Yeah. And if you don't have a pool, find a friend with one.
Yeah.
And let them let you take a dip in their pool.
Don't make it weird, though. Just don't make it weird.
No, no.
You know
Not into weird pools, that's for sure. Okay, well, that's a topic for another day. But in the meantime, we've got events coming your way. So stick around for the gospel and reflection as well. It's 5 after.
A Good Friday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus was going through a field of grain on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "See, your disciples are doing what is unlawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? How he went into the house of God and ate the bread of offering, which neither he nor his companions, but only the priests, could lawfully eat? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests serving in the temple violate the Sabbath and are innocent? I say to you, something greater than the temple is here. If you knew what this meant, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned these innocent men. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
Today's Gospel opens the 12th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel that focuses on the developing tension that reaches new heights between Jesus and the Pharisees. Their arrogant blindness will propel them to accuse Jesus of working with Satan, and then they will begin plotting his death. In the course of defending himself, Jesus will reveal more of his true identity. He declares that he is greater than the prophet Jonah, King Solomon, and even the revered temple. Jesus will also uncover the true identity of his adversaries. They are the ones collaborating with Satan, since they oppose the Messiah sent by the Father. The Sabbath rest was one of the main identity marks for Jews in the first century that set them apart from the Gentiles. Not only was this observance an expression of covenant loyalty to God, the prophet Jeremiah warned that failure to keep the Sabbath was one of the sins that led to the destruction of the temple in exile in 586 BC. When the hungry apostles plucked the heads of grain and ate them, the Pharisees judged they were harvesting, an unlawful work on the Sabbath. Jesus defends the actions of his disciples with two allegories. One, David's men were granted the priestly privilege of eating the consecrated bread of offering, and two, the priests worked on the Sabbath. Then Jesus made the astounding statement, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." The expression "Son of Man" was normally an idiom indicating a human person. However, Daniel had a vision of a divine being, one like a Son of Man, who came to the Father in the clouds of heavens and was given an everlasting kingdom. And so, in this way, Jesus was alluding to his divinity. We Christians are to observe the Sabbath on Sunday by stepping away from work and shopping to focus on our vital relationships, God, our family, the infirm, and the elderly. It should be a day of prayer. Well, how are we doing? Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sayers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sayers, for today's Gospel and Reflection. It's 11 past the hour on Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado. Thanks for tuning in wherever you are. We're so glad to have you join us today. You can follow us on social media if you are on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. You can just search Catholic Community Media. Or if you're on Twitter, you can search at LA Catholic Media. We're on there as well, and we love connecting with everyone online, so go ahead and follow us. You can keep up with everything we're doing over at our studios.
That's right. Be part of the many. You know, St. Charbel Maronite Catholic Mission of Louisiana is having their Mass and relics displayed as part of St. Charbel's Feast Day, and it's going to be July 23rd at 11:30 at the Catholic Life Center, and there will be a Maronite Mass taking place at 11:30. So if you want to be a part of that, this is your chance. You can find out more information at ccmedia.live. And there's also a St. Charbel Maronite Catholic Mission benefit. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be hosted by Chef John Foles. He'll be doing the cooking, at least, on August 13th at White Oak Estates and Gardens. That's going to begin at 1:30 in the afternoon. Tickets are $100. And you can go to ccmedia.live, as I said, to get all the details for both of those.
Yes. And for many parents, we are just days away from the first day of school, and a school supplies drive is happening now through July 30th over at St. Catherine of Siena in Metairie. The Women's Club is sponsoring a parish-wide school supplies drive to benefit the students of Our Lady of Perpetual Help in Kenner, the children of the Boys Town Homes, and other students in need within the Archdiocese of New Orleans. The supplies will help approximately 250 students start the new school year right, and your help and support is generally appreciated. Please check the list of school supplies most needed, and you can drop off your list and items over at St. Catherine of Siena now through July 30th. You can visit ccmedia.live for details.
All righty. And our good friend Alan Migliorato, who's with us on Monday mornings, he's coming to our area. Yes, he is. He'll be at Mary Queen of Peace Church in Mandeville, Louisiana, on August 24th and 25th to speak to parents and teens about the key issues teens and parents are faced with in today's world, which, believe me, he's become somewhat of an authority on this topic. Mm-hmm. Alan, as you know, is the author of Failing Forward and the book The Manly Art of Raising a Daughter. And on Thursday night, the 24th, he will be speaking to parents and adults. And on Friday, the 25th, his talk will be directed toward teens and parents. The title of both will be Raising Catholic Teens, Is It Mission Impossible? Here's your chance to find out. They will be from 6:30 to 8:30 again at Mary Queen of Peace Catholic Church in Mandeville, just off West Causeway Approach. For more information, go to our website.
Yes, and you have a chance to ask Alan any question that you may have, and he can answer it for you. Always looking forward to his segments on Monday mornings. Well, if you have an event you would like for us to talk about on the air during our events segment, you can send it to us for free at our website at ccmedia.live. Just click on Events and News and click Submit Your Events. Like so many of you have already done, you can also check out our events calendar at our website at ccmedia.live. There are a lot of events on there, so you can find something to do this weekend or the next few weeks with you, yourself, or your family.
All right. Last but not least, Crackpots, Blessed and Broken. It's a personal loss support group, and Crackpots is a grief ministry for mothers who have lost a child or children. Crackpots meets monthly at 9 a.m., and that's on the last Monday of the month, which happens to be the 31st of July. It'll be at St. Aloysius in the PSC conference room. All moms who have lost a child are welcome. Go to ccmedia.live for more information. Okay, it's 15 after. Stick around.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 21st. Today we celebrate St. Lawrence of Brindisi. Born of devout middle-class parents in Brindisi, Italy, at 16, today's saint entered the Capuchin Franciscans and received the new name of Lawrence. His facility for languages, his native Italian plus Latin, Hebrew, Greek, German, Bohemian, Spanish, and French, enabled him to study the Bible in its original texts. Following his ordination at age 23, Lawrence attracted large crowds with his preaching ability. At the request of Pope Clement VIII, he spent much time preaching to the Jews in Italy, a combination of brilliance, human compassion, and administrative skill, unusual in so talented a scholar, made Lawrence a natural leader. He served as provincial for three Italian Capuchin provinces, and in 1598, he and 13 other friars established the Capuchins in Germany. In 1602, he was elected minister general of the entire Capuchin order. 15 volumes of his writings remain, including his sermons. As a papal emissary and peacemaker, Lawrence accompanied the imperial troops sent to repel the Turkish advance into Hungary. He died in 1619 while on a diplomatic mission to Lisbon, Portugal. Canonized in 1881, he was declared a Doctor of the Church in 1959. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are listening to Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. Thanks for tuning in today. Our first guest is Kathleen Higgins. Kathleen is the Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry for the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and we are talking back to school. That's kind of been the theme this week as we get ready to head back to school, or our kids heading back School. Hey, Kathleen, good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all?
We are doing great and, you know, gearing up, checking things off of the list. And you working with youth and young adults in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Anything exciting happening in your office as you get ready for school or maybe some events to help the students kind of transition back into that routine?
Yeah, you know, there's so much going on. Summer, I feel like as soon as the 4th of July hits, everybody's like, back to school. You know, it's like preparing for Christmas in August. You know, when the stores start putting out Christmas stuff, we haven't even finished school and they're putting out back to school stuff. So, you know, the summer is such a weird spot. And, you know, having taught for 10 years and now I just finished school last December for my master's. So I think I'm done forever. I don't know. Summer is such a weird place for us at the diocese because there is no real break for ministry. All the summer stuff has been going on, all the summer trips. And, you know, we had several groups go to different Steubenville conferences. We talked about that. And, you know, summer camping trips, all the kinds of things. You know, and now it's really focusing on, okay, what does the year look like? You know, gearing back up for getting back into a rhythm, right? That's been a thing that I know that everybody struggles with come the very beginning of August is getting back into that rhythm, into that schedule, you know, into the everyday that looks pretty much the same for the next, you know, 9 months or so. And it's kind of dreaded sometimes. You know, we can look at it and go, oh, man. But I often looked at it as an opportunity to, like, find out what I wanted to put into that schedule or how I wanted that schedule, that rhythm, to look different, right, this year. And so when, you know, when you're buying back-to-school supplies and you're looking at your schedule and, you know, you're making sure you have enough uniforms or whatever you need, it was always an opportunity for me to say, okay, what else do I want to put in? Like, what's my goal this year? And not only academically or with my sports or clubs, you know, but like, how do I want to grow closer to Jesus this year? Right. And so like that sometimes we think of like, that has to be huge. It doesn't. It's like a New Year's resolution. It's like your back to school resolution. Like how do I want to incorporate Jesus in my everyday, you know?
You're absolutely right, Kathleen, and being a teacher for so long, you know, we entrust our children to the teachers, unless we homeschool, that we drop them off to. And especially in a Catholic school or in a Catholic setting, you are forming them in Catholic values during the day while we're at work or whatever we're doing. That is very important. So how is it for teachers who are listening right now, who are maybe setting up their classroom or about to come in or gearing up for Monday morning to go into the classroom to get it ready for the students and the children? Any advice on that transition as a teacher? Because those days can be very long, and I think we as parents don't value what our teachers actually do during the day with our children because they're with them all day long.
Right, yeah. But I think that's a two-edged sword, right? So for teachers, you know, the one thing to remember, and I didn't always remember this, especially when my students were difficult, but to remember that for some of those students, you're the only encounter with Jesus that they might get. Right, is in your classroom. They may be coming in from a family background that doesn't practice, doesn't talk about Jesus. You know, they may be coming in from a situation where they don't have a lot of friends and maybe they're bullied. And the fact that you call them by their name or ask them how their day is, that is a bright spot in many, many students' lives, unfortunately. Right. And so even on our, you know, as we're getting excited about school supplies, because teachers nerd out over school supplies. it is weird. But as we're, you know, getting excited about that and about how our classroom looks and, you know, and all that, just remember that, you know, in order to be a witness of Jesus, like witness to Jesus, we have to know him. And so to keep keep your faith life, you know, strong and take care of yourself in that way. But the other side to that is for our parents. Unfortunately, I think many parents send their kids to Catholic school hoping that that's where they get formed in the faith. And it's a partnership. If I'm the only time that they're hearing about Jesus, it's really difficult for that to be instilled in a young person. And so even if you have to learn mm-hmm. alongside with your children what they're learning, walk with them in that journey. Like if they come home and they're like, oh, we're reading about the Old Testament, and you're like, I have no idea what's in the Old Testament. What a great opportunity for you to say, hey, tell me about what you're learning. And I want to learn too.
Yes. Absolutely. And I think it's important that we take a look at exactly what our children are learning, whether they're in Catholic school, public school. Obviously, if the parents that are homeschooling know what they're teaching their children, but being involved and seeing, hey, what did you learn today? Of course, maybe at least for me, it's after the snack and after we've kind of decomposed for the day to ask those questions. But being involved and seeing what's being taught, and not just assuming that they're getting what we think that they're getting over in education. But, you know, for the parents, I think it's a mindset because it's a lot because you have to, I mean, you start that routine and it's, doing this on time, as a teacher and you're seeing parents kind of getting overwhelmed sometimes. Any advice that you can give for that first day or first week for an easy transition for their child as they head back?
Yeah, I think go easy on them. Right? take care of them, take care of yourself, make coming home. They're already stressed, whether they're super stressed or it's just a stressful time, make coming home an opportunity for them to unwind, for them to be able to talk to you about know the right questions to ask, right? If I ask a young person a yes or no question, they're going to give me a yes or no answer. Did you learn anything at school today? No. Oh, okay, cool. hey, tell me one thing that was challenging for you today in math, because I know that's your toughest subject. What was one thing that you learned today that just like blew your mind? Where did you experience, kindness today? Those are the questions to ask, because I'm too tired to think about something that you haven't asked me about, right? As a young person. But if you ask me a good question to get me talking, right? And then let them rest. If they're like, yep, I don't want to talk, let them it'll be all right.
We remember sometimes, and sometimes we forget those were long days for us, especially if we were tired or we really didn't have a great morning, a great start before we got dropped off or we drove to school that day. So I do want to say that I think I accidentally said decomposed. I meant decompressed. So I did want to make that correction. Kathleen Higgins. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's funny that I forget now that I'm an adult and you don't feel all the changes that your young self is going through. I'm like, how did I survive any of that? Tired all the time.
I actually thought that when I went to college, because I felt like college was easier than high school, as weird as that may sound. I felt like it was very back to back to back to back, where I could take more frequent breaks. And sometimes we forget that our children are there from 8 a.m. to 3:30 in the afternoon. And of course they have their little breaks and with recess and stuff, but those rainy days or those cold days, I mean, they're inside all the time. Yeah. So we have to remember to give them grace and to give ourselves grace too, right, Kathleen, as parents?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Look, I'm not a parent, but sometimes parents are their worst critics. I'm like, everybody, your child is alive. They're at school. They're doing well. It's okay. It's all right. You're doing a great job.
Yes. Kathleen, thank you so much for being with us. Kathleen Higgins, Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Where can they go to find out maybe some events that the diocese is putting together for the youth and young adult ministry?
Yeah, we're working on some stuff now. You can go to our website at diobr.org. But the best thing that I'm looking at is our parishes are putting on a whole, like all of them are putting on back to school events. So check your parish, see what's going on in your youth group. That's geared towards back to school. There's a lot going on.
Great. Thank you so much, Kathleen, for being with
us
today.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. Thanks for
having me. All right. Yes, definitely check those out. There are so many different back-to-school events, like Kathleen said, not only in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, but all over wherever you are. So check that out. But looking forward to it. And give yourself some grace, too, because we're all getting back into that routine, maybe from a relaxed summer or a chaotic summer, whatever kind of summer that you may had. You know, we're all doing it together. So,
yeah, hopefully Jeff Young, the Catholic Theology on Taps will get back into action, too. Those are always fun for college students.
Yeah, and it's in a relaxed environment, too. So those are great. Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, joins us when we return from the break. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
And as you sip that River Road coffee, it is 35 after the hour on this Friday morning. Damian Colano, Gabby Smith, thank you for tuning your heart to the truth. Thank you for watching on Catholic Life TV in Baton Rouge as well. We appreciate you and the fine folks there allowing us to broadcast each and every morning, weekday morning, from 7 to 8 as part of their regular programming. With us now, Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie's here to join us. And we're talking about ribs. That's right. Not the ones that came from Adam, but the ones that may have come from your local grocer. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. How y'all doing on this warm, balmy day?
Oh, well, since you put it that way, we're doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I was enjoying it. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, let's talk about ribs. It's one of my favorite foods. However, the only way I usually do them is grilled, but you're talking about braising them.
Yeah, well, I have a, I love to experiment in the kitchen. You know, that's the, you know, some people like to garden, some people do other kind of hobbies or whatever. I love to be in the kitchen and just play around and see what works, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I had thought about doing, this is a few years back, and this actually turned out to be one of our favorite little recipes to do. This is short ribs, right? Beef short ribs, and they're braised in tomatoes with Bloody Mary mix, of all things.
Oh. And, well, you got my interest up anyway.
you know, when you talk about braising, it's like, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
To braise something is to cook something slowly over a long period of time in fat, believe it or not, and a small amount of liquid. And so you think about other things that are braised. A lot of times you may have wine in there or something. So it's not like a lot of liquid. And short ribs, beef short ribs, do have a good amount of fat in them. And so that's where it came from. And very, very tasty. And the process is pretty simple. Because you're talking about maybe 4 pounds of beef short ribs. You want the bones in there because there's so much flavor that comes out in the cooking process from the bones. But salt, freshly cracked black pepper to taste, and cayenne to taste. And the only caveat in mentioning those, that the seasoning right here, is that if you're cooking with the Bloody Mary mix, you have to keep in mind that it's already seasoned, right? Mm. There's already salt in it. So you want to kind of taste as you go. And this is something that, you know, as soon as you start, like even from the very beginning, go light on the salt and wait, because you can always salt it later after the Bloody Mary mix is added. But I use olive oil, butter, a large sweet yellow onion, 2 leeks, but just the white part, a cup of red wine, a cup of beef stock, one can of 28-ounce can of petite diced tomatoes, and then 3 cups of a bottled Bloody Mary mix. And, you know, there's so many out there. I don't know if you enjoy Bloody Marys. I know we do.
Oh, yeah.
But over the years, we've loved, like, the Tabasco brand, the Zing Zang is another good one. It's got a little zing and a little zang to it. You know, we like that one.
Right.
There was one years ago called Who's Your Mama? You ever see that one?
Yeah. They also have a spice. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that one is good. So you pick, right, whichever one you want. You're going to need 3 cups of it. And then 6 large carrots. And the carrots need to be peeled and cut into 3-inch pieces. And the carrots, it's interesting, you think about this. The carrots are going to add sweetness to it, a little sweet. But it, because of the sugar content of the carrots, it helps to neutralize the acidity of the tomatoes. Okay. So that's something that you may think, oh, I don't really like carrots, I don't want to put them in. Well, if you don't, you might want to, you know, look up what could you substitute. Maybe even add a little sugar, right? Because you want to try to neutralize the acidity. And then 20 small cremini mushrooms with the stems removed. And your basin is everything's on the website. I'm going to send you the recipe, but it's a fairly simple process. You're going to cook down the onions and the leeks, right, until they're almost just starting to brown or caramelize. Remove those, preserve them. You're going to brown the short ribs on each side. Right? All this stuff is going to be in a skillet or a pot that's big enough that you can put a cover on it and stick it in the oven after.
Okay.
So once you've browned the short ribs really well, you put the onions back in. You can throw the carrots in there. You can put all your liquid in there and scrape the bottom, right, to get all the good crispy bits off the bottom of the pan or the pot. Cover it and stick it into the oven at 350. Let it cook for about 2 hours. Then you're gonna, after 2 hours, remove it, give it a little stir, throw the mushroom caps in there, stir it again, throw it back in the oven. If you cover it, throw it back in the oven for another hour. And you can serve that, and the meat comes out like butter.
Well, right? I bet. It falls off the bone, huh?
It does. You can pull the bones out after that, discard them, and you can serve it over rice or even pasta. Right? We've done that as a good
really? Huh. I've never done it over pasta. I've seen it over rice. And mashed potatoes, too.
Oh, that's good.
You can certainly do that.
I've done it with mashed potatoes before. My mother was from the north, so everything was meat and potatoes. Once I got to, you know, eating Cajun country food and married a Cajun gal, everything was rice. So, I got the best of both worlds the way I see it. So, but Jeff, this is interesting because I know I thought you were going to maybe go the crock pot version, but I'm glad to hear it this way. This sounds so much better and it's quicker because with a crock pot, I'm sure it'd take hours upon hours before it got to the point that you get it to in a matter of 2 or 3 hours.
Right. You know, it's funny because there was a time in history where there wasn't such thing as a crock pot. You know that? Are you aware of that?
I don't use them. I don't like them, but that's okay. Some people do.
I love them. I don't know about cooking ribs.
Yeah, but I think it's great for people who, you know, want to start something in the morning. They got to go to work. They come home. It's ready. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But I just don't use one.
I love it.
So, but go ahead.
There may be a crock pot apocalypse, right, where they all stop working, and so you got to figure out how to cook in a real pan over like a real fire. But you got to practice a little bit. Just not every day, but just every once in a while, practice. But, you know, Alton Brown used to talk about how he hated the chef Alton Brown, right, how he hated the whole concept of having just like a one thing, right, like a rice cooker, just cooks rice, or the crock pot, or crock pot's a little bit different, I think, because you can do a lot with it. But like a garlic peeler or whatever.
Smasher,
you know, he didn't. So I think I for a long time I kind of took that to heart. It's like, oh, yeah, you want something that's versatile. You could do a lot of different things with it. Why invest all this money on this particular gadget when a knife will do, right? It just takes a little human skill.
Yeah.
And I still like that idea. However, there are some things I've really come to enjoy, like the Instant Pot, which is sort of like a crock pot on steroids, right? And yeah, we use that thing at least twice a week. You know, that's become kind of a go-to device.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I like these ribs. I was always just more of a baby back kind of rib guy, but I'm going to definitely try this because it sounds delicious. I love the fact that you use Bloody Mary mix as part of your seasoning, and in the sides you could pick your poison, as they say. So I love short ribs. I just never knew how to prepare them, but now I do. So I'm gonna give your recipe a shot. Where can folks go to get and learn more about the one and only Catholic Foodie?
Well, CatholicFoodie.com is going to be the the main hub there, right? But all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, just search for the Catholic Foodie or Catholic Foodie, and you'll find me there.
Awesome. All right, man. Well, you have a great weekend, and thank you for that recipe, and we'll get a few more from you when we go to your website. You have a good weekend.
Y'all too. Yeah, y'all stay cool.
You too. We'll do our best. Oh, man. So, Gabby, have you ever tried short ribs? And if so, different recipe or pretty? This sounds pretty good to you.
So, I have never personally made them myself. I have purchased them at a restaurant, and they're good. But I don't know, ribs, eating ribs in public is just not my thing. I don't know.
Well, it doesn't hold me back.
I don't care if other people do it.
Well, with these short ribs, the bones are pretty much fall off the bone, the meat does. So you could probably eat it without having to use your fingers. But anyway, that's a good point. Some people are a little apprehensive about that. So,
you know.
Well, Terry Dixon's coming up next. Stick around. Minutes before the top of the hour, and welcome back to Wake Up. With us now, Terry Dixon, Director of Communications for the Diocese of Biloxi. He's also editor of the Gulf Pine Catholic newspaper there, and here to give us an update. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, my friend. And let's jump right into the cover story. Deacon Martin Finnegan. Oh, what a great man he was within the Diocese of Biloxi.
He really was. Deacon Finnegan can be considered one of the pioneers of our diocese. We're a young diocese. We were established in 1977. Deacon Finnegan was the first permanent deacon ordained for our diocese in 1979, along with three other men. Unfortunately, he passed away on July 12th following a 12-year battle with cancer. But Deacon Finnegan was always a man of great joy, and he and his wife, Brenda, really modeled, you know, what it means to be a true deacon's couple. So, you know, it's a big loss for our diocese, but I talked to several deacons who ordained after him, and the common refrain amongst these men was that he was just, you know, always present to them, and he was always encouraging them. That's what they said about Deacon Finnegan. He was an encourager. And since he took over the permanent diaconate program, he was actually the first director of the permanent diaconate program. That program has grown from those first four men to over 50 today. And we have other men in formation. So our permanent diaconate program is really thriving. And Deacon Martin Finnegan is a big reason why our program is thriving. So he will be missed, but we know he's looking down on us. And as one of the priests who he served with said, if he's not in heaven, we're all in trouble.
Well, I'm sure he's there. And you mentioned his wife. A lot of folks fail or forget to realize that in order for a deacon to really be a good deacon, they have to have a solid marriage in most cases and a wife that's very supportive. Can you share a little bit about her? Because I'm sure she should be recognized to some degree as well.
Yeah, Brenda Finnegan, she's a wonderful lady, as Father Bernie Farrell, who was Deacon Finnegan's pastor at Sacred Heart in Pascagoula in the 70s and later at St. Elizabeth Eaton in the 2000s, said, you know, she helped him. She helped him with his homilies. She helped him with his ministry to the families and as a director of religious education. So she, you know, like you say, the wives are such a vital part, and she really models that. She's also a very prolific poet. So
really?
I will throw that plug in there for Ms. Brenda. We have some really wonderful deacon wives in our diocese. Unfortunately, we just lost the wife of one of our deacons, Faye Nikes, who was buried yesterday. So we're praying for the repose of her soul as well.
May she rest in peace.
Absolutely.
Now, I know Bishop Kenneman, he's continuing to do an ongoing series regarding Eucharistic revival. He's got part four in this issue.
Part four, there's one more part to go, but in this most current column, he talks about opportunities for faith formation to help people grow more acquainted with the Eucharist. And one of the things he talks about is this program that we all just went through at the Diocese of Biloxi Pastoral Center. Our deacons are going through it. Our priests will go through it at their convocation. It's called the Rescue Project. It's presented by Father John Ricardo in a group called Acts 29. And as the bishop says, he's witnessed healing, growth in relationships, and a renewed passion for the Mass and the Gospels. It's a transformative presentation of salvation history that helps us reacquire a biblical worldview and to know who the enemy is and how to recognize his tactics. And that's just one of the ways the bishop suggests, you know, connecting with the Eucharist. And
yes,
there are other ways as well. We have the New Wine program, which we talked about, through Bible study, Alpha, the Eucharistic Revival that's going on now, our Year of the Parish, Curcio, Acts Retreat, the 99, Ananias training. I could go on and on, but you're on a time frame.
I am, but it's great to see all the activity taking place, not only in the diocese, but at the parish level, Terry. Mm-hmm. That's really exactly what it's all about. It's come back to life. You know, we blame COVID for a lot of things, but I think when it's all said and done, it may reunite and reinvigorate our church parishes, and because we realized how important the Eucharist is to us on a daily basis if we have the opportunity to receive it.
Absolutely. And, you know, you talk about stuff going on at the parish level. I'd like to promote something that's happening at Holy Family Parish in Passe Christiane, a presentation by Father Vincent Lampert, who is the exorcist for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis.
I was seeing that. I was going to ask you about that. This is a cool dude, by the way. But go ahead.
Wednesday, July 26th at 6:30 p.m. That is on Minge Avenue in Passe Christiane. And that's a relatively new church. It's a beautiful church. So if you haven't been there, this is the opportunity. And you get to hear Father Vincent, who has traveled all over the world fighting the devil as an exorcist, from South Africa to Alaska and points in between. He's currently the pastor of St. Michael Parish in Brookville and St. Peter Parish in Franklin County in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. Since his appointment as the exorcist for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis 16 years ago, the number of exorcists in the diocese and in the United States have grown from 12 to 125.
Oh my!
Yes,
gosh.
And he is a mentor. He shows priests how to be an exorcist, and that is what's amazing. He's got a great story. If you can attend this event, you owe it to yourself, because you are going to be astonished at this man. Go and hear not only his story, but he's going to have stories about his vocation as an exorcist. Terry, again, location and time, because I'm going to do my part to try to be there.
Oh, we could meet in person. We've never met. That would
be we haven't. Okay, I'll let you know.
No, that's trouble.
Maybe Father Lambert can take you aside and minister to you.
Once and for all, get this demon out of me.
Holy Family Church in Passe Christiane. That's Wednesday, July 26th. It's at 6:30. Holy Family is on Minge Avenue in Passe Christiane.
Excellent. And that would be hearing Father Vincent Lampert speak. He's an exorcist, and he's, as Terry said, has gone around the world to battle the devil. Terry, I always like to wrap up with an event or two, if you have one up your sleeve. Anything you want to mention before we close?
Well, I just want to promote one other story that we have in the paper, a national story, and it's about the Pope naming 21 new cardinals, and they include our Apostolic Nuncio to the United States, Archbishop Christophe Thiers, who was here several years ago to represent the Holy Father at the ordination and installation of Bishop Kinnaman. We also have a United States-born Archbishop Robert Prevost, who is the prefect for the Dicastery for Bishops, and we have the whole list of bishops. We have a Portuguese auxiliary bishop. You don't see auxiliary bishops being made cardinals while the bishop himself is not made a cardinal. It's kind of odd, unique.
That's a good point.
Interesting list of cardinals.
It is, and Prevost is the only one from the United States. He originally from Chicago, and 67 years old, becomes a cardinal, so good for him. Terry Dixon, as always, thank you for being with us on Wake Up, and at the same time, you have a good weekend, my friend. Hope to see you soon.
And maybe we'll see you in Past Christiana, and then we could go out for ribs.
I'm ready. You pick the place.
All right, Gabby's not going to come, I know, but that's okay.
That's okay. All right, what a week. And we're going to close with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, you long to share your word and body with us at Sunday Mass and at every Mass we can attend during the week. May we always have a hunger for this encounter with your love and friendship. May we serve others the same charity that and love as you serve to each of us. And may Sunday be the most important day of the week for us and our families. Mm-hmm. Amen. In the name of the Father, Amen. Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.